Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has pledged ongoing military support for Afghanistan during an historic visit to Canberra by the Afghan President Mohammad Ashraf Ghani. During talks last night, the two leaders signed a new development partnership and discussed the deteriorating security situation in the country, which is struggling to deal with a renewed insurgency by the Taliban. President Ghani has thanked the Australian people for the sacrifices made in Afghanistan, including the 42 Australian soldiers killed and the more than 250 wounded since the conflict began more than 15 years ago.
You've always assumed a burden of responsibility where you've not been directly threatened. And that shows that values can bring people together. Where we have the ultimate cause in common, which is the freedoms that have been gained so hard.
Afghan President Ashraf Ghani visiting Australia. Well, Jacinta Carroll is the head of the Counterterrorism Policy Centre at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. Jacinta Carroll, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
The war in Afghanistan is now in its 16th year. It's, I guess, become the forgotten war, in a sense, if we look at the focus on Iraq and Syria these days. Ashraf Ghani has provided Malcolm Turnbull with a security update. Are government forces, Afghan government forces, getting any sort of traction in their efforts to deal with the Taliban?
Well, as you've mentioned, Fran, it is becoming a little bit of the forgotten war. And of course, that's because the International Assistance Mission, the NATO-led ISAF that Australia has been part of for about 15 years, drew down in 2014-15 to be the Operation Resolute Support. So this is a mission of support, training, advising and assisting. And so the responsibility for security now is firmly in the hands of Afghan forces. And not only Taliban, but also the Islamic State group there, they've named a province, Khorasan province, from 2014. They've taken advantage of the movement of international forces out and had really had a significant resurgence in the last 2 years. But what we're seeing in 2016 with the US in particular putting some more forces on the ground is that while there is a significant fight going on still in Afghanistan, and there will be for some time, the responsibility has gone definitely back to the Afghan forces. And President Ghani is very aware of this. His visit to Australia, the first, of course, by President of Afghanistan, is there to ensure that Australia, with our modest contribution to the NATO-led force, continues to provide that training assistance.
Mm. Some are critical of the handover happening too quickly, of course, and that's been so for a number of years now. But certainly a resurgent Taliban does control more territory in Afghanistan than I think at any time it has since the US-led
absolutely
invasion. What implications does that have for the Afghan government, but also beyond Afghanistan, for global security?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Taliban has control, the former Taliban has control of more elements of Afghanistan than it did since 2001, of course, when they were ousted from government. We've seen just in the last year, for example, they, and is also the IS element, Khorasan province, undertake a number of significant attacks throughout Afghanistan, and essentially they control that northeast area which borders Pakistan. There've been some successes and some setbacks over the last couple of years, and that's to be expected during this transition period. But Afghanistan's done something quite interesting because under President Ghani, it's very clear they know they can't rely upon NATO for the future. NATO has put thousands of troops in there, has lost many lives, and they've done their best to try and get the Afghan people and the Afghan government back up. So Ghani's looked to agreements with India in particular, and also with Iran to try and help them in different ways shore up some support and security around their country. That they have a problematic relationship with Pakistan and typically blame a lot of the resurgence of the Taliban from Pakistan and how Pakistan has administered those, the Fatah region, the federally administered tribal areas that border Afghanistan.
Are there these two threats now, though? There's Taliban and there's also ISIS. So the Afghan government may be seeking support elsewhere. The Taliban, I've read, have also been seeking support from places like Russia for weaponry to defeat the threat that they see in ISIS. How big a threat is ISIS in Afghanistan?
Look, ISIS in Afghanistan looks pretty much like former Taliban members. However, with ISIS's fortunes flagging in the Middle East and having some control over areas in Afghanistan, it becomes a more attractive area. There are links with Russia, but they cut both ways. For all terrorist organisations, they need to have access to people, to money, and, of course, to arms. There's another Russian interest in this, which is Chechen fighters. We've seen them particularly interested in being in Syria for a couple of reasons. Russian forces have essentially kicked them out of the North Caucasus, but also they're able to fight their Russian foe in Syria. And we're seeing a similar thing in Afghanistan, where Chechen fighters and others, some from other parts of Central Asia, are seeing that there's a safe haven for them in Afghanistan that they can rejoin. And this branding of Islamic State, it doesn't matter whether people are really from IS Central or not, but that brand provides a certain attraction to any terrorist fighter.
It's a complicated picture, isn't it? And with competing interests, I noticed that a top US general has told Congress just very in the last few days it's fair to assume Russia is providing support to the Taliban in Afghanistan. Now, that could be, as you say, because of the concerns about the Chechens. It could be because of Taliban concerns or competing with ISIS. But the but General John W. Nicholson, the US top commander there, has recently told the committee he needed several thousand more troops. Do you think there are signs the US is getting more involved in Afghanistan and is in that in part because of the threat of ISIS taking hold?
Yeah, well, very interestingly, again, not something that's very high profile, but of course President Obama committed significant troops in January 2016 back to Afghanistan for just this reason, that it was seen that while the broader NATO mission had finished, of course, leaving possibly too soon would mean that those who we tried to defeat could be emboldened and take territory, and of course they had. And there's been some successes now. The Russian involvement's very interesting because, of course, this new environment where Western countries are caught up in fighting nationalist groups, ethno-nationalists and terrorists provides a nice distraction for those who might otherwise be against them, such as Russia.
And just finally, Jacinta, speaking of Russia, we've been reporting on this bomb attack at St. Petersburg in the underground overnight. No one's claimed responsibility yet. Immediate suspicion seems to be falling on ISIS, though of course there's always the groups, the Islamic groups in North Caucasus, and there's some suggestion they too are affiliated now and joined. Vladimir Putin's worked hard to neutralise that threat, but it remains a real target, doesn't it, Russia?
Look, Russia does, and while Russia itself has focused a lot of its public attention on Syria and publicly, externally talked about a fight against terrorism that sounds like the one that we and other Western countries are involved in, what's actually happening domestically is that they're branding many other groups, so political protest groups and so on, as terrorists, and the last year or so has seen a significant rolling out of new legislation to clamp down on these. And there are, while this is the most high-profile apparent terrorist attack, there is something in the order of 1,000 terrorist attacks that the Russians will call terrorist attacks every year in their country. And these are, they can range from just being political protest, but through to violence, such as we've seen in St. Petersburg. And it may be linked to Chechens, North Caucasus. Also, there are some movements, pro-Ukraine movements, that are very... Okay. Concerned with the things that Russia has done there.
All right, Jacinta.
So we'll wait to see what happens.
We will. We'll wait to see. Jacinta, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Jacinta Carroll is head of the Counterterrorism Policy Centre at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute.